Podtackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 746, Take Heed, recorded live on August 6th, 2020. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Duststorm.
I'm Godzilla T.
And I'm Chuck, I get thrown by Craig.
Hi, I'm Craig.
And I'm DJ Blue PDX. Welcome to the show!
And we've got a special guest with us tonight. We are pleased to have on the show, probably one of our more favorite YouTubers as of late, we have General Heat on. Welcome to Podtackler.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Going good. We are happy to have you on. We've been just getting all giggly over your YouTube videos. I was trying to think of a better way to say that, but nothing else is coming to mind at the moment. But
yeah, no. What I'd say, you are definitely one of the more celebrated content creators on here.
Thanks, guys.
In yeah, spite of your thoughts on Sprint.
I know when DJ just. Oh my gosh, DJ!
What?
I know when DJ joined the show a couple months ago, we had started putting your videos into our normal kind of list of updates from the community, and we just came across some really interesting stuff, and both DJ and GT and or all three of us were like, wait, how do you come up with your ideas to even look into some of this stuff, and two, who would even think to come up with that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so like a lot of the ideas, like, actually, I sometimes question, like, how did I even think of that? Like, after I upload the video, I'm like, did I really just upload that?
Right.
It's just, I don't know, sometimes I hang out with my friends on Xbox or just, you know, like, playing Halo, matchmaking or something, and then we just toss around ideas, and, like, sometimes one person's like, hey, what if we do this? Or, like, can you imagine if that happened? And I'm like, I could actually make that happen. But the question is, should I make it happen?
Right, right. It's like, how responsible do you want to be for revealing XYZ is either possible or not possible? It's like, yeah, there's some good questions in there. But we're going to ask you two questions that we ask all of our guests on the show, and then we're going to roll right into our normal show. First one is, how did you get your start with Halo? What got you interested or involved with the Halo community or the Halo franchise?
So this would pretty much go back to when the original Xbox first came out. So, like, at the time, I actually wasn't really into Xbox at all. I was a huge Nintendo fan, and I really wanted, like, a GameCube for, like, Christmas, but my parents are so bad at technology, they didn't know the difference between a GameCube and an Xbox. They got me the Xbox by accident. So, what's done was done, so I tried to, like, find a few games. One of my friends said, like, there's this cool game called Halo, so I tried it out, and I was just blown away by it. It was so fascinating to me. Like, it was just so cool, like, the campaign, and from that point on, here I am today.
Very nice. And second question we normally ask, and this is kind of the reason why you're here, but if you want to elaborate a little bit more than just what you do on YouTube, what is it that you do within the Halo community today?
So largely what I do, well, you know, I upload videos to YouTube, of course, but largely what I do with that is usually I try to, most of the time it's just like messing around the game, like, you know, while playing, something odd comes up or like a bug or something, that's, I'll just, you know, make a video of the bug or a glitch and then just show it to people, and sometimes I call attention to it if it's like a game-breaking bug or like MCC, for example. And then other times, you know, my friends and I, we like to explore a lot on Halo, so we just, you know, we just spend like hours sometimes just messing around the game, like playing campaign, checking out certain areas, see if there's anything interesting out there. And if we find anything cool, we'll upload that as well. And more recently, you know, if we come up with some wacky ideas, I'll see if I can make those possible too.
Yes, there's definitely some interesting wacky ones out there. we find little gems here and there, and then we'll have a 10 or 15 minute conversation on it, like how it's even possible. So we're definitely fans of yours, and we're happy to have you on the show. We'll talk a little bit more about your YouTube channel and what you do over there a little bit later. But As we normally start our show off with, we have our Podtacular community updates, starting with our live streams, and that, of course, starts over with GT and Fraggin' Friday, which I believe we were on MCC this past weekend, so GT,
yes, we were.
How'd that go?
And you missed out.
I know. I had some other stuff going on.
We had a lot of fun. We spent some time in Big Team BTB, but we pretty much outgrew all the matchmaking relatively quickly, and we spent the night playing some customs.
Very and nice.
I found that I really need to find some more customs.
I actually did. You find the one that I sent you a couple weeks ago? Are you?
I have had not got okay. a chance to look at those yet.
I know there's a lot out there. I actually hopped on, I think, maybe the last 15 minutes that you were on. And when we went over to do customs afterwards, it's like, okay, I have three customs on MCC that's not in Halo Reach or Halo 4. I should probably fix that. So I definitely need to update my customs library, too.
The whole not being able to have more than like 50 is really getting troublesome.
It's a limiting with so many games out there too.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
MCC.
I mean, yeah. It's like with the older games, you could have 100
on each one,
and you could use multiple storage devices.
Yeah.
So you could have as many as you wanted. You just had to remember on which storage device they were.
Yeah, having multiple different SD cards. I remember for Mass Effect 3, I had just a 20 gig drive on my Xbox 360. And so I had, the game has to be installed by default on that drive, right? And then I had all of the, there was another 16 gigs or there was 14 gigs of DLC, right?
Oh,
and
yeah,
I had all the DLCs on a micro SD card that I put into an SD card that I put into a thumb drive, USB thumb drive reader, and I had to plug that into the top one with my external hard drive into the bottom one, and then my controller went in, like, had to be plugged into the stereo to charge, so that I had charge constantly to the controller because it would connect wirelessly. It would be charging from our stereo system so that I could play everything with Mass Effect 3. I'm like, you know, back before hard drives were cheap as, you know, for a dime a dozen.
Right.
Jeez.
And that was before they put the USB on the back of the consoles. And at least now with, like, at least you have five USBs on the, well, the newer 360s.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks on the Xbox Ones because there's only two USB ports.
Unless you use a powered USB 3 extension.
Right.
Extender. And then you can plug that into the rear USB 3 SSD. USB 3, and then you can run that like a crazy person.
That's true. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, GT, for the update. As for achieving Halo, I actually did not do achieving Halo this past weekend because I had some stuff going on over the weekend and I needed to catch up on things. So that didn't happen this weekend, but should be back this weekend. Should be trying to figure out which achievement that we'll be going for. I will probably actually focus on the season challenges because there may be a new season coming pretty soon. More details on that coming up in a little bit.
There we go.
Over on the website, we have two new Machinima Mondays, thanks to the writing Spartan. We have Zombie Matchmaking, the movie, which is a pretty long, I think, like, it was an hour and a half, 2 hour movie made by Nightmare Films.
Nice.
And then we also have Operators, which is made by Bacon Media.
Cool.
I am always intrigued when people make machinimas based on the lives of telephone operators. I mean, as a Spartan, it's always difficult to have to be able to grasp one single plug and be plugging into a hole, and you move from one hole to the next hole and the next hole. Hello, what do you want? Who do you want to talk to? I'm connecting you now. It's the perfect thing for Spartans. Welcome to customer service. This is your Spartan speaking. How can I help you?
Oh my
it's necessary.
Gosh.
Well, how else do you get problems? Like, if you need to reboot everything in your helmet, you gotta call customer service. It's like OnStar. I managed to accidentally touch water and I died. I'm respawning. Can you help me with my heads up? Well, how did you touch water? It splashed on me when somebody else jumped in my way. Why is there a game of Pong on your screen, Godzilla T?
random stuff.
I'm like, what are you doing?
Is he using that plugin?
He's playing screen games.
Oh, jeez. All right. Over on the company commendations, we're still making some decent progress over the last 11 or nine that we have. For Lawnmower, which is getting splatters, we have just over 200 of those to go. Then killing an enemy Spartan with a standard weapon, we have about 33,000 of those to get. And then, so that's actually moved up over the getting headshots on enemy Spartans, which is at, doing quick math in my head, that's about 25,000 to go on that one. And then the last two are still the last two, killing Marines and shoulder bashes. So, nothing new there. On Tales from the Foxhole, we actually have some stuff to talk about.
Hey!
For the first time in a while. Yeah, we actually got a few people that dropped some stuff into our Discord server while we've been getting crazy about all the Infinite hype and reveals and all that stuff. Just a couple of interesting, crazy clips from some of the community over on the server. The latest one that we have here is from Triple Ratamascu. I think that's how you say his name. I'm not sure. But he is driving the elephant on Sand Trap, and it so happens that the scorpion tank spawned underneath him and then flipped the elephant while he was driving the elephant.
How do you flip the elephant?
That's like my very first YouTube video as well. You
spawn a 80-ton tank underneath it.
so yeah, the tank spawned underneath. Like, not directly underneath the elephant.
In all of my years playing Halo, never seen that trick.
Yeah,
never.
I've usually seen them, like, flipping the elephant just by putting a bunch of fusion coils in there and making it explode, and eventually it lands upside down. But no, this was just...
Well, you can actually drive an elephant and make it flip.
Right. And because of the weight of the elephant, it made the tank explode, and the tank explosion flipped the elephant.
Okay, that I totally see. Yeah, I crushed it and exploded, then yeah. Ow! That's a big bada boom.
Yep.
Big bada boom.
And then Austin Wee Brink also shared a little clip that he had. Very similar or very akin to the clip that Mint Blitz uploaded about a month ago. He was actually on Sand Trap as well. And someone dropped the bubble shield. But instead of the grav lift, he actually dropped the power drain. It actually hit the little stand for the bubble shield. So the bubble shield went flying. And then the two enemies in front of him dropped their shields, and he just killed both of them.
That's incredible.
Really?
Yeah. That's over in the Clip Shots channel over on our Discord server. And then Tepec over from Halo Creation, shout out to the Halo French community. Thanks to the Acrophobia Skull, they managed to actually fly all the way over to the portal on the Halo 3 The Flood mission. And kind of walk around and explore it.
Yep.
Yeah, just think of all the places you can get now.
Right?
It's so, such an awesome skull.
Yeah, we got outside and we're roaming through all different areas of the map. We were able to get through one of the windows didn't spawn because we floated up the elevator shaft. And so it didn't activate upstairs. We were just able to float right out that window through the big barrier into that big spot where both the scarabs drop. Float all the way through. It was incredible. Found a bunch of kill barriers in randomly insane places. But
yeah.
So yeah, we were dragging design. People through multiple times trying to get as many people the Acrophobia Skull as possible before the cutoff date. And then they extended the cutoff date. And I thought, well, all of that effort for.
You still helped them get the Acrophobia Skull.
You're right. I acted in the best interest of their ability to play.
There you go.
On PC.
There you go.
There we go.
And that's actually, you can still get that skull for the next month.
Thank heavens, because it's an amazing skull. It's a lot of fun, especially being able to fly through the final run to the ship to get to the 400 on. Like, you just all the way over.
Brain Spartan, you don't have the skull yet?
What the heck?
You gotta get that. You gotta get on that.
We need to get you that soon.
You need to do that.
We need to get you that soon.
We need to team up, bud. On PC.
He said, this group is the Avengers Assemble of the Halo peeps. That's awfully kind of you. Thank you, Writing Spark.
Thanks, buddy.
And dang, it is late for you. Or early, depending on how you look at it. So thanks to the folks who dropped those into our Discord server. Appreciate it. Enjoy your 5 minutes of fame on the podcast. Let's go on over to matchmaking updates for Halo 5. GT, what do we got coming in this weekend?
Well, this weekend for August 6th. Yeah, that's what this is. We have Mythic Arena will be added for the ranked playlist for the month. Griff Ball is in for Roaming King.
Griff Ball. About time.
Okay. If anybody's wondering,
calm thyself.
DJ just lifted off his chair, rotated around 3 times, and then landed. Okay.
I did that so fast, nobody even saw it, too. It was amazing. I'm skilled.
You're a wizard, DJ.
I know. I'm almost like, and I'll be back in a week. Thanks. Bye.
See ya.
You do have a wand, right? You still have your wand, right?
What? Yes.
Yeah.
Always.
So who's us not to say that he's a wizard?
I am a wizard. Has Craig showed up late only to throw the griff ball into the match?
I throw ball. It goes fine. Then I throw grunt.
Chuck's trying to hide in a corner right now.
Yeah.
I mean,
ball. I imagine.
That's a great name for a game ball. Type.
Right? Craig ball.
Yeah, that's genius.
Great. Instead of playing with a ball, you're playing with me. This is not fun at all. I feel like this is technically grunt abuse, and I should technically, you know, if Craig just respected me as a human being,
never going to happen.
Damn it.
Oh, my gosh.
Wouldn't that be great? Every time you threw the ball or hit the ball, it was just a grunt screaming.
I mean, with Infinite, who knows that that could happen with...
Anything's possible.
Like, and if you would throw the ball, it's just... all the way across.
Well, just they got the Grunt Birthday Party in there, so...
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. Yep.
Oh, they've got Grunt Birthday Party. So hilarious.
Why not throw in...
Have to grunt, hold on to a grunt. Oh my god, that'd be so hilarious.
Have a grunt sound effect for everything in the game.
Yep. What will be interesting is if it's keep away, and one person is technically Craig, and you've got an AI Craig chasing whoever has the ball, and you've got, and Craig's invincible, so you've got to be able to get the ball from two teams fighting for the ball, which is technically Chuck. Craig chasing him, AI, so he's just completely indestructible, running down with hammers. God, we could build this in H5. We really could, except for we need a grunt. I mean, we need a grunt and we need
a brute.
Could you weld the ball to one of the grunt?
Probably
things in Halo 5 in Forge.
I don't know if you could pick that up still, though.
That would be interesting to. I mean, but you know what? Here's the thing. I'll plan it out. I'll pitch it next time up at 343. I'll be like, hey, here's the thing. Remember that thing that we played that one time on the main stage? I will forego you making that a game type if you do this for me.
and in the back of their minds, they have the Arbiter line. We trade one villain for another.
Now in the back of their minds, like, has anybody called security yet?
Why do we keep letting him in?
He just keeps showing up.
Not my fault. I know the door code. Just kidding.
It's that special badge.
There we go.
I thought they were supposed to take those away. Wait, what?
I know nothing.
You didn't tell me. For the Master Chief Collection, we have Shoddy Snipes. I believe still the active playlist. And... 8-person social FFA.
Yep. So, nice. Yeah, duels rotated out, Shy Snipes rotated in.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually yesterday's update. I just forgot to change the date. But, yep. Very nice. Well, thank you, GT, for the updates on that. Over on the Waypoint blog itself, we have a couple of new articles. We touched some on the Q&A stuff from Infinite Inquiries last week, but there's a couple of things that we did not touch on. So we'll go ahead and talk about a few of those. First thing up is there is an HGS Grassroots Cup, which is being hosted by Greater Toronto Halo, GT Halo.
Not this GT.
No.
That GT.
Although I think there needs to be some kind of collaboration or some royalties or something happening there. But that's just me.
You know, the whole trademark thing, I can't really do that. It's just, because the big green guy was actually technically around here first, although he was kind of black back then because he only had black and white TVs. Anyway.
Godzilla!
Wait, so is the T in Godzilla T for Toronto or Topeka?
For Todd.
That's not a real city.
No. It's not. Thankfully.
That's not a city. The city of Todd.
The great city of Todd.
This is the land of Todd.
The great city of Todd.
It's an inflatable, rebuildable city that Godzilla can just roll in.
What do you call
stomp,
the citizens of
move
Todd?
Move off, and it just reinflates everything.
What would you call the citizens of a city called Todd?
Toddites.
Toddians? Toddites?
Turds?
Toddisons. Turds. Wow, that was a crappy joke.
T is for Tauntauns.
T is for Tauntauns. Hey!
Todithians?
Everybody loves a Tauntaun.
Toddheads. Gosh, these are good guys. Keep them coming. That's
not oh my God, can that please be next week's survey? What would you call people in the city of Todd?
Sure, why not?
What do they call people in the city of Chad?
Chadwicks? Chadonites? Chuckles?
Where is...
Children?
Since we're on this,
what city
is Craig from?
What city is Craig from?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where's Craig from?
Technically, he's from Wallopville. Wallopville's just south of Crack, which is the base of the basin that, you know, most of them come from. That's because they get walloped when they're there. And it's basically a rite of passage. It's part of the proverbial sanctions that are involved in some of the more ceremonial opportunities for people. You get walloped. Now, across the basin is Whipkick, and that's where you get whipkicked as your entrance. A lot of the cities are named after, or the gathering holes are basically named after whatever physical treatment you have to receive in order to get there. There's Headshot. Not many people live in that city. There's only a few who've survived. Those that have survived the Headshot, well, they're not the brightest people in the barrel. Yeah.
Then
there's Kick Swim. You got to kick people while swimming. That's only for those who are aquatically based. Obviously, no Spartans are there since Spartans can't swim, apparently. According to some people here, they also can't sprint, but we're not getting into that today.
Stop.
Now, there's also Snowball. That they just like the snowball fight. There you go.
Frizzle saying either everything of what you said or Boston.
And then there's Deep Dish.
As a city?
They just like pizza there. No, Pete, you have to cook a pizza and it has to be really good deep dish or they kill you.
I've never actually had deep dish.
They're very severe in most Jerilani communities.
Okay.
Strict rules.
Definitely. I like Whipkick. Now, there was the city called Slap, but they got, eventually it was a consent issue and they just stopped there. Kind of like I should have before I said that.
I know that, like, every once in a while you'll see these little, like, top 10, like, oddly named cities or roads or something like that. So, yeah, just fit right in there. Okay. back to the update. So there's an HCS Grassroots Cup. This is being hosted by GT Halo starting this Sunday, August 9th. This is a Halo 5 4v4 tournament. 343 staff will actually be playing in it, it looks like.
Cool.
The tournament will be played by tournament organizers, 343 staff, and content creators from the competitive Halo community. Teams will be randomly drawn tomorrow, Friday, August 7th, with a full tournament happening 2 days later on Sunday, August 9th at 10 a.m. Pacific time. You can watch over at twitch.tv/GTHalo.
Ta-da!
There you go. And then SWAT Nation has their 2v2 SWAT tournament happening the following week on August 15th. It is called the Bears Don't SWAT V2. Registration is free and is open until August 13th at 5 p.m. Pacific time. There we go. There's some new Halo gear out there. If you guys have seen the couple new shirts that Halo has out there, including a hoodie, and just released this week a new Xbox pin with a 117 on it.
I saw that.
Cool.
Sounds pretty cool.
Definitely want to grab one of those.
Yep, heading over to, I think, gear.xbox.com/Halo is the link that takes it to that takes you there. Also, we have the Art of Halo Infinite cover art. We mentioned this last week, but it's worth mentioning again. That is available over for pre-order on Amazon and other places. They released the cover art by Sparth, which looks incredible. You can go over to aka.ms/Art of Halo Infinite and put your pre-order in today. They also have the MA40AR Nerf Blaster. Of course, it's out of stock right now, but once that gets back in stock, you can go and get the latest in dart blasters to add to your arsenal. I know I have so many Boomco blasters, it's not even funny. And then there's a couple of Mega Construct stuff that's been announced over the past couple of weeks with the reveal of the Infinite Campaign. And I think that's all the product stuff. Yes, that's all the product stuff that we have. And we head on over to the next article, which is the MCC development update for July 2020. And there's a lot of stuff in here. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in here. For all the techie people, there's a lot to dive into if you are an audio engineer. I think, DJ, if you haven't read this yet, you will probably get a kick out of some of this stuff. It's talking about DAWs and plugins.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Knew that was coming.
Multiband, equalizers, all that kind of stuff. So
some of the stuff we used to teach at the broadcasting school and at the college.
Yeah, so feel free to correct me if I kind of miss saying this, but to abbreviate, they're basically taking the system that was built by Xbox to do sound for Halo 3, for the Halo 3 engine on Xbox, and there was 7 different plugins that they actually used to do Halo 3's audio processing. And they actually had to take those plugins out, wrap them in new APIs, and then put them back into game to make sure it actually works with the Xbox One audio workflow.
Yep, because you have different drivers, and new drivers, new technology means that there are different profile aesthetics, and so you've got different distortion points and different equalizer distortions based on like hardware that was originally available for H3 when it came out versus the advancements in technology that have happened now. When you consider surround sound, stereo, everything that's going on with Astro, you've got all these different advancements. So now you have to rebalance all that audio in new ways so that you're still capturing the crisp clarity and also providing that level of depth and resonance that is part of that experience when you're in game.
Yep. And you probably recognize each one of these plugins that they listed out here.
Lots of them. Yep.
To some degree, I would imagine. So very nice. We also have a little update on the Halo 3 hit registration. They actually have a video linked here, I think actually from a while ago, when they were talking about the Halo 3 projectile behavior as it changes from going from a 30-hertz tick game to a 60-hertz tick game.
Mm-hmm.
So they relinked that video, which was done by, I believe, the Psycho Duck?
Cornman, I believe.
Cornman? Okay.
Yeah.
So I think that video is a couple years old, but they're just kind of reiterating it's not as simple as a fix as people think it is, but they are still investigating the issue and they're trying to make ways with actually kind of making it feel closer to the original experience that Halo 3 had on the 360.
I'm always entertained when people think it's just flipping a switch. Just go in and turn that off and turn this on.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes you do get lucky with that with software development. A lot of times you don't.
Yep. It is very rare that it's just like, oh, we can flip a switch. It's like when you call in to Adobe's customer service support. Can't just flip a switch and turn it back on, fix my Adobe.
If you write your code correctly, it usually can be that simple.
Yeah.
But when you're in game development and then there's a rush at the end to make things work, it's kind of a web of a mess.
Well, and you've got,
as I'm sure General Heat can attest to.
Yeah. Well, and you've got overlaying interacting elements. So when you correct something in one frame, the way that it's interlaced with another area or another piece of code can inadvertently affect that piece of code, which causes a chain reaction down the line in a full circle. And then all of a sudden you've got like Halo 5's sandbox break. And it's like, What happened?
That's why software development is definitely takes the one step forward, two step backwards to the extreme. And it's more like one step forward, 10 bugs later.
Yep. Yeah. Fix one thing, you break 10 other things.
Right. Yeah. So it's a lot of checks and balances involved instead of just like, oh, ping. Oh, that fixed it.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's not like beating on it with a hammer and going, stop breaking and work now.
Under the next section, design discussion, they're talking a little bit about the upcoming stuff for season 3 of MCC, which will coincide with the launch of Halo 3 ODST on MCC for PC. So with the season 3, they're going to look at customization for Halo 3, which includes weapon skins, new visors, and other content for the game. There's also going to be some brand new customization options that has never existed before in Halo 3. So ponder what you will on that. There's also going to be some new things coming with Halo 3 ODST as far as customization. And ODST will have firefight matchmaking.
Woo!
Cool.
I know we talked Hot about damn. If we would like to see that on last week's show, I think. But yeah, with this update, they said they are going to be introducing ODST matchmaking, and there's even some kind of customization options that they're going to have as far as your matchmaking experience goes. And you'll be able to do things like customize your weapon spawn, alter gravity. So all the stuff that you can normally do with a normal Halo 3 custom game mode. Looks like they're giving us the ability to make those custom game options for Firefight and Halo 3 ODST.
That will be cool. Some interesting matchmaking.
Yes. Yes, so it fun. Will. And then the whole argument between Halo 3 firefighting being so much better than Halo Reach, I think that starts to level out a little bit with all these customization options for the game mode.
I'm team ODST firefight, for the record.
I mean, I love ODST, but yeah. I think for me, honestly, the whole argument that ODST firefight is so much better than Reach, if you were to take away the matchmaking option in Reach and all the customization that you can do in Reach, and you start firefight in Reach, you start firefight in ODST, I don't think the dissimilarities between the two would be that obvious.
Yeah. Well, I've always liked the two different firefights for different reasons.
Yeah, which is fine, but the whole argument that I've heard is, well, with ODST firefight, it was just the one way that you could do it, and that was it. But now they're adding all these customization options. Like, okay, that's going to make this difference in opinion probably balance out a little bit more.
Well, yeah, I've heard that same argument, and I've always considered an apples to oranges argument. I mean, the only thing the two have in common are they're both named Firefight.
And then there's Warzone Firefight.
They really do. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong, even with the modifications that they're able to do with Halo 3's or with the Halo 3 ODST, you know, customizations, it probably still won't be anywhere near what you can do with customizations with Halo Reach.
No.
But, you know, like I said, I always enjoyed the Halo, the ODST firefight for, you know, really a challenge. And then whenever I just wanted to go in and kill stuff, I'd go in and play Halo Reach.
Right. I know a lot of people don't want to go through this again, but I'm kind of hoping there's the Endure achievement again.
So I had so many frustrating moments back in the day with it, but despite all that, I would like to do that achievement again.
Only if I can use the custom settings.
Oh, yeah, just make everything instant kill and make you invincible.
Whenever I run into people who are arguing about whether or not one mode is better than another, I always bring up the obvious counterbalance to that. With three fingers, is it really possible for a Sangili to be a concert pianist? Do you know why that's important?
If they could be.
Because who cares? Let people play the game types they like. Why does one have to be better than another? Oh my gosh, you have no idea how many people I have muted on Twitter for stupid arguments. Oh my god, do you think this bench should be blue? Should there be sprints in Halo? Which firefight is better? Everybody gets...
Is the dress blue or muted. Purple?
What? Exactly. Like, I think his shoes should be a different color.
You mean blue and gold?
Yes! Why not? Why shouldn't it? Geez. Why couldn't it? I think we should have rainbow as an option for bullet colors. Every single bullet is a different color in the game. Is it a thing we have to worry about? No. Why? Because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I also think I should have hair. Clearly, that's not going anywhere in discussions.
So you will be able to have customization options. The couple of screenshots they did show off are things like weapon and damage, and then you can choose vehicle sets and that kind of stuff.
I thought you were going to say I was going to be able to grow hair, and I was really happy for about 3.5 seconds.
Reach for the stars.
Jazz hands. Okay.
And then ODST Flighting is going to take part in the first half of this month.
I'm excited for that. One of my favorite next week? Game times. And to get that on PC, man. Oh, I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be so beautiful.
I hope I actually get a chance.
Jazz is like, clearly you haven't listened to the Arbiter solo piano album.
Yes, it's called Six Digits of Halo. It's just, you know, three fingers. It's a circular piano because they have such a limited reach on their thumbs. Ever like tried to play Halo, like play anything on the piano with just three big giant claws?
Maybe it's not
a lot of ivory that gets broken at that point.
Maybe it's something else.
Maybe that's not a piano. It's an organ. Organ, you glad I asked that question?
Oh my god.
Oh jeez.
Here we go.
Sounds like a case of updoc.
I see what you did there.
So for the flighting, what they're looking to get out of it is a feedback on the campaign and the firefight, obviously. There's going to be a few campaign missions. There's going to be Mombasa Streets, Tirari Plaza, Uplift Nature, nice. Uplift Reserve, NMPD HQ, Data Hive, and Coastal Highway. That's about half the maps.
That's like, yeah, it's like most of the campaign, actually.
Yeah, that's like half the campaign.
I'm excited, though. It's going to be so good.
There are going to be campaign playlists. There is Flight Test, Flight Test Heroic, Hoofing It, which is on Tiari Plaza, new NMPD HQ, and Data Hive, and then Street Smart, which is on Mabasa Streets. In the matchmaking side of things, or I guess multiplayer side of things, there are the maps Crater at night, Rally at night, Crater during the day, Lost Platoon, Windward, Chasm 10, and Last Exit. And there will be two playlists for that, Firefight Heroic and Firefight Arcade. Settings and options supported for PC, mouse and keyboard controls, and configuration for that and gamepad. Your normal video settings, audio settings, gameplay, network, and accessibility, all that pretty much is the standard stuff. There is going to be customization for Halo 3 ODST. And theater will also be available for Halo 3 ODST. Ooh, in this flight.
Cool. What?
Mm-hmm.
We're definitely going to have to check that all out.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm excited. This is going to be a good one. Like, I don't know anybody who is anti-ODST. And anybody who is, I feel like is...
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think I know anyone either.
I feel like it's going to dissolve our friendship if they're anti-ODST.
Stay of the game with Farms. We've got some top community reported issues, challenges not progressing or resetting. They actually had a patch out to fix some of that, which came out last week. Unable to play Halo 2 Anniversary Co-op campaign. That's under investigation, and they're still working on that. Achievement issues, co-op disconnect issues. Yeah, that's still a pain. Players unable to matchmake on the same internet connection. Inability to log in and play, game crashing with Unreal 4 engine, or Unreal Engine 4 errors, Halo 3 hit registration, that ongoing conversation, key bindings are resetting on game close, and then some view model stuff on Reach.
Yep.
So those are the top things that have been reported by the community, and they are tracking.
And I will say this about the hit registry in H3. Look, can I kill you with a hammer? Yep. Hit registry is just fine.
That's all DJ cares about. Can he whack you with a hammer and slash you with a sword?
Can I stab you with a sword? Looks like it works just fine. Not sure what the problem is. Get better and learn to hate your shots, or else turn your res down. Oh, I can still kill you at 720? Get good.
Features planned for release in 2020. Crossplay.
I like how they put that at the top of the list.
Mm-hmm. Input-based matchmaking.
In no particular order. Crossplay.
Yeah, right. Input-based matchmaking. Sever region selection.
Server or several? Several region server. Selections or server? I feel like it should be server.
It's server. No, it is server. But
or they funny. Just they sever the region sever. Selection.
They said sever. Right?
No severing of limbs. I don't care where you're playing from. Oh my god! Throw me.
Okay. If you say so.
Custom games browser.
About per game time. Graphics options?
Per game graphics options. Per game audio options. Mouse and keyboard support for Xbox.
Out cool. Dang time.
Yep.
PC file share.
PC file share. They're hitting all the major marks here. Double key binds for
all keep games. Going. Thank you, God.
Yes, right.
There we go.
What's the accept one? Oh,
expanding
the
amount
file,
of custom games you can have.
Oh God, Griff Firefight. Heck yeah, Creek Ass Jammers. That's what we're doing.
Oh, Griff. Oh my gosh.
Well, we already did Griff for All. We did Griff for All the other day, by the way.
Yeah.
And it worked. It was amazing.
Yeah, I missed out on that. But yeah, you can do Griff Firefight.
Yeah.
Yep. With the custom options. Oh.
Just hammers and swords and yeah. That's it. We do pro Griff Ball player traits in a firefight environment, and that's it. That's it.
That's going to be interesting. That'll be interesting.
I'm excited to do it. I've been planning this and waiting for this forever.
And only spawn hammer chieftains.
Right? Right. Oh, God.
That would be interesting.
See, that's from Whip. The chieftains are all from Ass Whip territory on the other side of the basin.
Oh, gosh. There is view model adjustments for all games, in-game FPS cap adjustments, and Steam account linking. The ones that are planning to release together, this first set is cross-play, input-based matchmaking, and server region selection. Second one is custom games browser, per-game graphics options, and mouse and keyboard support for Xbox. Very nice. Anything else big in here to talk about? Nope, not really. I think we covered... Oh, yes, there is. Actually, one last thing I wanted to talk on. Mod support. I'm just going to read this verbatim because there's quite a few people interested in this. There's not been a lot of communication from us on this, and I've been asked about this a lot when speaking to people in the community. Our goal is still to support modding, but due to the shift in development priorities that tends to happen over the course of a project, modding has continued to get pushed back over the past 6 or so months. The good news here is that we have reached a point where we are now able to spend some cycles to get the conversations, design, and planning going again. I am also now in active iteration on the EULA that lays out the ground rules for modding and player-generated content with our legal team. So officially supported mods? I understand this will be disappointing news to many of you, but the silver lining here is the EULA is in the late stages. Yeah. Once it's ready, we will reassess what we can accomplish in the short, mid, and long-term timelines. Modding is close to my heart, so I hope to be able to ramp this effort up more soon.
I don't know if people realize why that's important, but when you're talking about IP that is from multiple different developers and multiple different houses across an extended amount of time, even though the ports are now technically owned or licensed to be redistributed or rebuilt or ported by 343 and Microsoft Game Studios, it is still Bungie and the associated companies that were also third-party contracted in to help develop all those areas. So it's a whole lot of different hands in the pot that have to be cleared for all of that on the back end.
Well, and that's not even touching the EULA. The EULA comes down to what is the responsibility of the studio in officially supporting these mods and kind of having that verbiage in there of like, all of these mods are allowed to be on our system, but we do not support... Yeah. We do not troubleshoot them if there's something
that goes
wrong with them.
Your game breaks, not our fault.
Right.
And you got to get that cleared through Steam, which is a whole...
Well, it's probably one of those things where it's like, if they allow a mod into the safe version of the game, the non-mod disabled version of the game, they'll probably be like, okay, if this mod breaks, then we'll help you get rid of the mod so we can restore your game part. And that might just be a... Okay, you have to delete this part of the game and re-download it type of thing. But, yeah, it's like, we're not going to help support you and actually get your mods to work. You have to do that on your own.
Yeah. Which there's actually a lot of mods out there for the game, surprisingly.
There is. There is. I mean, that half of that stuff is what General Heat does to for his videos.
Especially the wacky stuff.
Yeah, that's some good wacky stuff.
I've been really
though.
Wanting to get into some of the mods, but at the same time, being an insider, you can't have them installed when you're playing insider builds. So it's like, oh!
Multiple installs, baby.
Yeah, different hard drives.
Or different PCs as well.
Oh, that's a good idea. Can I borrow a PC?
Do you have to have an extra gaming PC laying around?
I have the Steam version and the Windows Store version, so I could just leave Windows version untapped and mod the heck out of the Steam version.
That's pretty much what I do, actually. Or sometimes, like, I have an old laptop that I might just use that to, like, mess around the game as well.
Yeah, makes sense. I think that's it for this article. Cool. Let's go ahead and head on over to some of the community highlights. Just going to kind of spitball through some of these. Forge Hub has two new articles. First one is Enter Halo Infinite. This is their little Halo Infinite recap when it was announced a couple weeks ago. And then they also have community favorites for July 2020. Now for those in the live stream, here's the link for that. They've got quite a few different ones. Some using some of the new stuff in MCC's Forge in Halo 3, which is really cool to see that kind of making a comeback into the Forge scene. Number three is Frontier RMK V1 by Captain Pilot. This is, let's see, awash the sun-baked shores of this Halo 4 remake and Halo 2 anniversary, you'll find Frontier. This core map is complete with classic objective modes like CTF, King of the Hill, and Oddball, not to be mistaken with the Halo Wars 2 map of the same name. Captain Pilot has replicated Frontier's layout to a seemingly faithful degree, similar in the way to the legacy map Lockout. The space provides a variety of close encounters within shoulder-to-shoulder hallways, all the way to cross-map takedowns with the sniper rifle and everything in between. I also happen to mention this map features an asymmetric layout too. Second place is Sextant by Icy Hot Spartan. Sextant is a 2v2 to 4v4 asymmetric Slayer space, tugging at your heartstrings of a classic Halo atmosphere on none other than our Installation 00, the Lesser Ark. The map is beautifully crafted as if it was pulled straight out of the campaign of Halo 3, with overhanging foreigner structures protruding from the cliffside and overlooking the space of the layout. Sextant will be sure to lose you in the heat of combat and immerse you in the scenery and battle of Installation 00 all over again. And then first place is Mountain Pass by Hooded Wolf. Between the crags and the arid peaks of Baron's sweltering desert lies a battlefront compound of trench warfare amid heated pull-push gameplay. Below the site of a massive arch bridge spanning the mountains, war rages on as blue team leads the offense and red team staves off their assault to hold their ground. The map has a great atmosphere with a variety of lanes, bunkers, and trenches, of which you will find lots of cover, as well as flank positions scattered throughout the complex. Hull's rims and overhead surface engagements make a fast-paced combat of all varieties and has been nicely designed to be used with the attrition game mode specifically.
You know what I really want them to have done with this map?
What?
Looking at it, I'm really wanting there to be like just automation and bring elephants in so that they can just fall off the bridge and just come crashing down on the structures, killing anybody below, and just have them random speeds. And they'll crash into each other and just fall in random directions. And so you have to avoid this while killing the other team.
Oh my God.
Mass pandemonium and chaos. What could be better?
Or just have a train that drives by and like explosive barrels fall off.
Or almost. Just suicide grunts. Just nonstop suicide grunts. Go. Just jumping off the train. Just, there we go.
There you go.
Why do you always have to kill us in game?
Because it's fun. Don't ask questions, Chuck.
The next article we have here is from Forward Unto Dawn, titled A Score of Questions. So this is them taking a look at the history of Halo's sound as it pertains to music and how it's evolved over the years and where it is today. Haruspis has three new articles. First one, we've already kind of talked about. This was his interview that he had got to do with 343 after the reveal a couple weeks ago. And then he has two kind of follow-up articles to that. One is titled, Let's Analyze the Halo Infinite Demo's Approach to Storytelling and Why Installation 07 is the Perfect Setting for Halo Infinite.
Interesting.
Over on the community content side of things, we've got quite a few updates since it's been 3 weeks since we've actually touched on anything. ACS Pro Talk has three new episodes. Podcast Evolved has two new mission debriefs. Episode 127 of their main show. They also have a new little podcast series that's from their Halo Infinite reveal. So they have Evolved Blue Team Analysis and Evolved Red Team Analysis, which is kind of their two different groups that do the podcasts over there. And then they have a special Dr. Halsey's Journal. So, Pins, you can stop asking us to go do it, and now you have a second source that you can go listen to Halsey's Journal discussion.
We were actually talking about that as we were reading through Halo Forward and Dawn. I'm sorry, Halo The Fall of Reach. Because we started reading the Halo books during the DJ Reed shows. And
nice.
Pens was there, and we were talking about some of those different elements, because after a couple chapters, we usually stop and yak about it. But always good information, and it's interesting because you get various different aspects and little secret nudges from so many different people who are so into the lore.
Yeah, there's a lot there. I still need to go back and actually look through the journal. I looked through it once. I looked through front to back once, and it's hard to absorb it all in one sitting. Finish the Fight has two new bonus episodes. The first one is the best and worst marketing of Halo, and the second one is their Halo Infinite demo reaction. Then they have episode 37 for Spartan Assault. Sacred Icon Halo has three new episodes. Their latest one called Step Inside. They talk about some of the Halo lore with Haruspis and Late Night Gaming. Halo Outreach Podcast episode number 44 is out. Halo Respawn has a new episode, episode 9, which is their reactions to Halo Infinite. And then we have Forward Unto Dawn with their podcast called Spider Chief. Well, that's a grapple hook joke, in case anyone didn't pick up on that. lots and lots and lots of YouTube updates. I'm just going to pick out a couple of interesting ones that are worth checking out. First one is going to be from Halo Canon. Oni Archives analysis for the Halo 3 video that they released. That was definitely worth checking out. From Installation 00, there is a Zeta Halo lore and theory video, which kind of goes very well in line with a recent revelation from Chris Lee that Halo Infinite is indeed taking place on Zeta Halo, in case people didn't know that. Why is someone updating the page title?
I don't know.
32. Who just typed 32?
Not me.
We've got there. Hidden Xperia.
I fixed it.
Hidden Xperia also has a Zeta Halo history video, which is about 36 minutes long. So lots of the lore folks talking a lot about Zeta Halo and like recapping the backstory on why Zeta Halo is such a significant piece within the Halo lore.
They have fed the beast.
Well, it should be. I mean, that's where Kaithra Zeta Jones is from.
And that's where he met Craig.
Also true. Luke doesn't make short lore videos at all. We had him on the show on Friday, which was actually really cool to get to talk to him and Minolta about the world of Halo and discover a few things about Hidden Xperia that a lot of people I don't think know. That was really cool. It was a good chance to get to know him a little better than we already did.
Very nice. Yeah. We have Late Night Gaming. It has quite a few videos, and he kind of gets all over the place sometimes, but he has What Exactly Is Halo Infinite? My Talk with 343, the game story and the gameplay and more. We have Ascend Hyperion. He has another map for his Halo Forge map spotlight series, and this one is Abandonment. We have a whole laundry list from General Heat.
Oh, no.
Let's see. The ones I wanted to specifically pull out on this one is you did an analysis on Halo Infinite, your initial reactions, and then kind of the 12 mm-hmm. things that people may have missed. I actually didn't miss any of them, so I'm proud about that. Being a massive Halo fan, but then there is some of the new Forge stuff you also talk about. So you have new secret equipment and vehicles in multiplayer, some of which you can access in Forge, some of which you have to do a little bit of modding to get to.
Mm-hmm. But hopefully it'll be added in the future without modding. So
yeah,
we'll see.
Yep, hopefully. And then the other one I wanted to really pull out, because this one was interesting. Scaring the Prophet of Regret to death. You want to give a brief summary of that? Because I'm sure both GT's and DJ's ears are going to prick when you actually explain what you did. And I actually watched this one today.
I'm like 95% sure it didn't happen in the old versions of Halo 2, like on the original Xbox, but like, so there used to be like a bug with Prophet of God on MCC where he wasn't solid, where like, you know, weapon fire and everything would go right through him. And in the most recent update to MCC, they fixed that. But when they fixed that, they actually broke something else, like the thing they mentioned earlier. Now, if you hit him once and then you just board his throne, you don't have to do anything. You just board it, you just sit there, and then like a second later, he just drops dead, like all of a sudden. Like, you're just standing there with your fist up at him, but like you don't have to punch him or anything, and he just randomly dies. And it's just like a shortcut almost.
Right? Yeah. I get that reaction from DJ every week we mention one of your videos.
Oh my god. Every week. Always. Always. That's amazing. Again.
It will work for everyone except for me.
Well, you're just shaking your head like, why the heck is that? Why? Why, Halo? Why? That's GT's reaction, is just why. And DJ's just like, what?
I want to try this!
Well, you know, the great thing about it is, you know, all these people find these glitches and bugs and shortcuts, and about half of them never work when I go to try to do them. I will duplicate what they do in the videos, follow the instructions, and it doesn't work for me.
Have you rumble stomped anybody with the flying skull yet?
No, I can't say that.
If you catch enough speed, you can, and punch the right time, you can knock like full on chieftains straight out. Just bam, gone, dead. Uh-huh. But you got to pull up fast enough that you don't hit the ground after you punch him. You punch him in the head, and they're just gone. They're just done.
Yep.
And I was just blown away, but you have to be going fast enough to do so. So if you screw it up even slightly, you hit the ground and you die. You hit a twig and you die. Somebody breathes on you wrong and you die.
That acrophobia skull is making for so many interesting, just hilarious moments right now. Yep. And it's awesome.
Absurdly unnecessary, but hilariously fun gameplay.
Yes.
Too long for a YouTube title, but it's definitely something that's going on my
grid. Have you seen some YouTube titles? That's not that long of a title. Let's see. Marty O'Donnell is continuing his Halo Music Inception series, and he recently did Undercover of Night. So that's over on his YouTube channel. Yep. Team Respawn has a couple of things in here as well. There was one I wanted to mention. Oh yeah, they did a video on why is Halo's Captain Del Rio in a permanent bad mood. It's just kind of riffing on whenever you like see him in Halo 4. Just like,
he's
in such a bad mood.
Del Rio's he's just permanently angry. Always constipated. A jerk. And my favorite line of response of snark from Cortana is, you know, I usually like a little more intel with my intel.
Yes, I love that line.
I told that to Jen at Outpost Discovery and she laughed. She said that was one of my favorite lines to say.
It's so
I'm sorry,
good.
My favorite is still, I bet you can't stick it.
That's a good one, too. That's a classic.
Especially after I heard the outtakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't even keep that in the final game, though, right?
Not that
It was
tank.
Only in that one trailer?
No, it was only on that
yeah,
one
it was
trailer.
Only in it was only in the Halo 2 teaser. Yeah. Or, yeah, the gameplay.
But demo. Yeah, if you look around, you can still find out there the outtakes when she was recording those lines. And, that.
She's hilarious.
Yep, they came out with a good line.
Yeah.
Podcast Evolved has another installation of their Road to Infinite series. This one's titled The Road So Far. Mr. Napoli, with the help of the Acrophobia Skull, beat the mission Delta Halo in 41 seconds.
Jeez.
Yeah. 41 seconds.
I thought we did that pretty I thought I did that pretty well. Apparently I suck. I mean, which isn't new, but dang.
You just have to know where the load spawns are and what zones you have to go through in order to not miss a checkpoint.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And heading on over to Community Musings, we actually finally have a Trivia Tuesday and Lore Thursday from Halopedia.
Gee, they finally... Oh, never mind. No, I shouldn't say that because they're nice guys over there. And girls.
They are, but it definitely took them a little while to actually, you know...
Well, I have to admit, you know, the last... couple of weeks have been a little distracting, so
this
is with
true.
The Halo Infinite news, that could pretty much just make your brain go
This is true. This is true. GT, you want to read those?
Sure. We got Trivia Tuesday. Did you know that Halo Wars 2 has 8 unused skulls? These include Fog, which disables a player's HUD, a skull that was named, and a skull named What's in the Box that deploys boxes around the map and grants random units when captured.
That's hilarious. What? How do we? I wish we could turn those on.
Yeah.
Same. Hey, we need to find a mod to turn those on.
Come on, General Heed. Right? You can do it. You can do it.
For the lore Thursday, the Pontiac GTO was an American muscle car built and designed by Pontiac in the 20th and 21st centuries. Okay. James Acheson's brother, Ruan, owned one when he lived in Cleveland in late 2552. That's pretty good life for a GTO.
Yeah. How do you maintain the car that long? 500 years.
No clue.
To learn more, visit Halopedia.
A lot of maintenance. A lot of maintenance.
He vacuum packed it.
Right?
You probably have to.
Judging from the pictures below, it's not exactly stock anymore.
No.
I wouldn't imagine so.
Because it looks like he's got a fusion drive for an engine.
Yeah, it's probably been swapped out. Some components have probably been replaced. And yeah.
Been kept up a little bit.
Probably not running on gasoline anymore.
Probably not. You can barely keep a car running for 10 years these days. Let alone like 500 years.
Hell, I wish I had a car that was only 10 years old.
True that. And the last thing we have on here is a recent hire to 343. This is from Andy Salisbury.
Andy Salisbury. Yep.
Yep. This was on July 27th. Today, I'm thrilled to be joining the team over here at 343, working on Halo as the community comms manager. Working studio side by side again is a joy in of itself, but to get to work alongside this team on Infinite is a dream. Now, let's go toss some grunts.
So, for those of you who don't know, Andy was one of the staff members from Mixer that I brought on with us to tour with Outpost Discovery. He and Josh Stein took turns representing Mixer during the talk shows they had each weekend live at Outpost Discovery during each one of our city tours. And Andy was at the majority of them. And yeah, we had a lot of fun because we've known each other for a while. And so it was really awesome to see him get to transition from Mixer over to 343. I'm still jazzed about it. We still send each other, yeah, you're okay, 343. He's like, I know, I'm so excited. Good. Don't forget to shave your head today. There you go.
And I didn't know who he actually was until DJ pointed it out. But Andy was actually the person that I coordinated with all my community panels on during Outpost.
Yeah.
So everything that the multitude of the community panels, which I was all but three of, were all done by me. So, yeah, apparently I've worked with Andy before, and I don't know if I've actually met him. No, I did meet him once.
Yeah, you met him at Outpost.
Yeah. But other than that, yeah. So it's cool to have another person come on the team.
Yep.
Especially on the community side.
The Storm takeaway, because I have questions for Heed. I have so many questions for Heed. Now, I speak like this because my first question is, I did not realize General Heed was Russian. You don't seem Russian to me. But if I say General Heed, it sounds just like if I say General Heed. So I want to know, why Russian name change? Heed to Heed. It seems so confusing, and Craig is very confused by this.
I'm really not confused by it at all, DJ. Shut up.
But seriously, why Russian?
So I get that question a lot, actually, but it's kind of a bit of a story. It goes like way back to like 2002, 2003-ish, back in my RuneScape days before I got an Xbox Live.
You competed in Russia in RuneScape?
Hmm?
I'm just kidding.
So, my friend convinced me to try RuneScape, so I made a RuneScape account. I didn't know what username to make back then, so like, you know, I was a kid back then, so I was like, oh, you know, I'll do General Kid. That's my RuneScape name. And that's like my very first like online gaming account, essentially. And it did okay, but then like when I got past like the tutorial, I died immediately and I lost all my stuff. So I made like new accounts to try to like redo it because I didn't want to get my stuff back. So I kept making the same mistake like so many times and losing all my stuff. And each account name, I'd made like some variation of like General something. And so like they all rhymed actually, like General Reed, General Feed or something like that. I just, you know, I don't know like how to make good usernames. So eventually I got the General Heed, my current Xbox Live gamer tag. And that account finally succeeded. And I stayed with that account for many years. So
except on YouTube.
Many years later when like YouTube came out. YouTube didn't exist back then. I don't know, those are the dark ages. But
back in the 90s. Can't you?
Yeah. So I made a YouTube channel and I was gonna go with General Heed actually to keep it consistent. But something like glitched the YouTube channel name at the time, like during sign up, there was some error and I couldn't use General Heed. Hmm. So I thought, like, what else could I use? I thought, oh, my very first RuneScape account name, General Kid. And so that's why there's that separation there, because the General Heed username for some reason didn't work at the time. So I just went with my first RuneScape name while my gamer tag remained the same as my successful RuneScape account. So gotcha. Blame RuneScape.
Well, I appreciate you explaining that, because that means that Duststorm is not an undercover Russian operative who is just catastrophically mispronouncing names, because he kept saying General Heed, and I'm like, it's literally written Kid, bro. I don't understand it, and I didn't want to correct him on screen, and I couldn't figure it out. So now that you're here, my first thought was, well, maybe he's Russian. Because if I say Heed, and, you know, with a Russian accent, it sounds like Heed. So I just assumed, now I know. And there we go. So I have a whole different idea then. You should team up with the Machina guys and do like a red versus blue sort of thing in a game with all the generals and call it General Mania.
Oh my God.
I leave that with you. Take it and run with it. It'll be ridiculous. You name every single unique tactical move that you can do after one of the different generals that you no longer use in memoriam of previous gamer tags, previous screen names, previous IDs on Reddit, like yes. All of them. Yes.
Oh my God.
Oh gosh. That'd be crazy.
Yep.
Do like pictures of your favorite Spartan armor setup from each game and name it after each one of your personas across the board. Oh my God.
In a battle royale with all of them.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
And then you could pull like a Super Charlie's Angels picture as like the intro, like, bum, you know, it's just have it go, heed, brrr, all the way across the thing, into the middle. And then it's just your face at the end. Bam.
James Bond.
We'll get Pixel Flare to do it.
Oh, actually, yeah.
Ooh.
That would be so hilarious.
Yeah. That'd be insane.
That's what I do. I give people terrible ideas and let them make them good.
still waiting for that piece from Badoski or from Archangel.
Ooh, there you go.
Still waiting on that piece. We'll see where that comes in.
All right, so I got my first question off the books.
Yes, you did. I guess I'll go with the next question, and then we'll head on over to GT. My first question is going to be, how did you get started with kind of doing the whole kind of out there videos, like even coming up with some of these crazy ideas of like, oh, what would happen if we did this or tried to do this or go in and change these tags and make this work? How did you kind of stumble into that?
So previously, like before we started doing that, you know, we just did like mostly just straight up like glitches for the most part. But then once I started doing like, once I learned how to like start modding Halo, I started like changing like a few things to like try to like alter certain scenarios, like can I save certain characters and stuff like that. And then from there, like once my other friends like realized I could mod as well, you know, while we're playing like Halo or like chat just in the party chat, we just like toss around like ideas, and like somebody might say like if you could do that, what if you applied that to like this and like get some like crazy result? And I'm just like, And so, like, I started playing around, and, like, sometimes, like, when I get, like, funny results on it, I just crack up, and, like, I gotta, like, put that out there. And from there, like, every now and then, like, while we're just playing games, like, my friends will just, they'll just toss around ideas, and that's pretty much how they come up now.
So it's, there's not necessarily any rhyme or reason of, like, okay, we want to look into this. Obviously, there's, like, a train of thought in some of your videos where once you do it on one game, you see if you can do it on the other games, but... Yeah. Other than that, there's not really like a pool of, okay, we kind of want to do something with this. Let's look at this. It's just kind of a whatever you come up with.
We do occasionally plan things like in advance. Like if we know like this thing works, then we might expand on that. And we try to like kind of like elaborate on it and see like what else can happen with that. Or if something similar can be done with that in other games as well. And We sometimes have like brainstorming sessions where one of my friends DJ I think you know this friend Fotos Chaos you met him
before, yeah
Outpost.
I know him I've known him for a long time
yeah he's like one of my biggest helpers of that actually and it's actually funny I love to like run by some wacky ideas with him to get his reaction and he just like no you're ruining Halo with this idea. And I'm like, ah, perfect. That's
how
I know.
No, you're making Halo idea, awesome. Then.
Exactly.
run them by me. I am always going to say, yes, let's try it. What's the worst that could happen?
Yep. You need a yes, man. DJ's your man.
Yeah. No, trust me. If it's about making new weird things happen, I'm all about it. As long as it's, you know, including making the Spartans bald.
Well,
there's some bald Spartans.
I don't know. They never take their damn helmets off.
Yeah, one of the fire team.
Spartan Locke. He's bald.
He's true. Bald, and then one of them from the Spartan Up series.
Spartan. Craig is also bald.
Craig is also
I even
bald.
Shaved my face.
So is Chuck. Chuck's bald too, right? The grunts are bald.
I think Conful. Here's the thing. Palmer's ponytail. Was the worst thing that could happen because
Palmer's awesome as a character.
Palmer never pulled the ponytail up to put the helmet on. Should have had his head shaved. Now that being said, Palmer was amazing. Who else is going to stand by and tell you that it's not over yet, Spartans? You can still take the enemy core. That's encouragement. That's positivity. That's called being a team player. 5 seconds before your entire team gets defeated mercilessly and without any prejudice, of course. We love Palmer. And every time she speaks, said everyone, ever.
She's a great character. She just gets the most unfortunate lines in the Halo franchise.
True.
I love Palmer.
I thought she'd be taller.
I personally didn't think there was anything wrong with that line because that is...
No, it was just the only thing I had about it that it was so predictable.
What?
It's like before I'm playing the campaign and I knew that was going to show up. That a line along that line, you know, something along that line was going to show up. I thought you'd be taller.
That's like people saying, I thought you'd have more hair. Do you know how many times I hear that?
Yeah.
It's that typical military.
I thought you'd have, you would have hair. Oh.
Right. Here we go.
What do you call the eyebrows? It's all I have left.
Yeah.
GT, over to you. If you got one ready.
Sure. What of all the different things you've done, you know, like the different challenges you've tried to complete on these, on the different games, which one of them is probably your most disappointing?
That's a tough one. There's been quite a few challenges that we've wanted to do and like we hoped something would happen, but like in the end, like nothing happened. But honestly, like one of the challenges that we tried to do in like recent history was like before the Acrophobia score, at least we also tried to finish the Warthog run at the end of Halo 3.
Yes.
Without like any vehicle, like just on foot.
Mm-hmm.
And we've actually like, I'm pretty sure like other people have tried it too, but we've been trying that since like maybe 2007, 2008, like on and off. And you know, we eventually like gave up and like we didn't think it could be done. And then quite recently, another group, I think it was Termacious Tricosity, have you ever heard of them? They do love awesome stuff. They actually managed to do it. And that was pretty awesome. And we were just like, oh, too bad we couldn't figure it out like earlier.
Right.
But yeah, so like that's one of the things like we hope we could have done, but we never succeeded ourselves.
Yeah, they do some crazy stuff.
At least.
Right. Eventually, I'd like to get them on the show. But yeah, they do some crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then Topeka also from the Halo Creation community, they do some of that kind of tricking stuff in campaign as well.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a pretty big scene out there. So you guys are dedicated to your craft, that's for sure.
Yeah, every time I see it, it's like, how in the heck did they even figure this out?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some really crazy things as well. I couldn't imagine like actually like working or happening either. But definitely a lot of awesome stuff out there.
All right, my turn. Cool.
Yeah, your turn.
Perfect. What's it like having hair? I'm just kidding. No.
It's warm. Oh,
right. I don't have to worry about it. Things don't shine off of my hair. No. So let's talk about you in. Just over 2 months. So October 29th is going to be your 13-year anniversary on YouTube with over 104 million views and 217,000 subscribers. That is quite a career-building set of numbers to at least to start off with. For 13 years, you've amassed an incredible amount of views on your videos. Of all of those videos, which one can you still go back and watch and laugh about? Do you have any that just always catch you like, I can't believe we pulled that off?
there's something like two actually that I could think of. I guess the first one would be like my very first video actually, which was the video where I actually flipped the elephant, like we were talking about earlier. So like what happened in that one was like at the time I didn't even like plan on doing YouTube or anything. Like I was just playing matchmaking in Halo 3. Like it was like big team Slayer on Sandtrap. I was driving the elephant around, and the game was a little laggy, so like the elephant kind of glitched into the floor because of the lag, and it just got like flung out and like flipped over. And I was so like excited, so like I just got like a cliche, but like I went to my mom to like get a camera, and like I recorded the TV screen with the video camera, and I was like, oh, I gotta upload this to YouTube. I think it'd be pretty cool. And that's how I got started. But when I look back on it now, like recording videos with like a camera, it was so like 2007, 2008 wow. YouTube at the time.
I mean, well, yeah,
I just pulled it off. And yes, absolutely. I'm watching it right now. It's a minute and 24 seconds. It's called Halo 3 Elephant Flipping, No Explosives or Forge Needed.
Yeah.
It has received 17,000 views and was uploaded on November 19th, 2007, which is incredible. As a start, as just a start. Interesting.
Yeah. But as for like videos that crack me up, like every time I look back at it, I'd say it'd probably be like when I first started getting to like the wacky Halo stuff. First one I did that like spawned actually quite a few memes out there was doing the Halo 3 Warthog run while playing as a seagull.
What? Wait, what?
I just replaced Master Chief with a seagull, and just, yeah, you're just like a little seagull, like hopping across like the Warthog.
Why do birds suddenly appear?
Where did you pull the seagull
every time
from?
Heat is near.
I took it from one of the multiplayer maps actually. I think it was Last Resort, like you know, just like seagulls flying around out by the ocean.
Okay.
I moved that into the campaign. I don't even remember how I came up with that idea. I just thought like I think it's like what if I did this, like what would happen, and then yeah, the result turned out to be pretty hilarious.
That's hilarious. That's yeah. Amazing. All right.
That was very hilarious. Yeah. Wow. That's a seagull. That's funny. Okay. So my question is, how did you kind of find your way into actually tinkering around with some of the modding tools and actually get into modding Halo? Like, what was that kind of step in there? Was that just kind of natural curiosity, or did you like have someone kind of introduce you to the modding scene? How did that really kind of start for you?
Yeah, so it was actually a little bit of both. So I was pretty curious at first. Like, there were like a lot of experiments I wanted to do, but like a lot of questions I wanted to tackle. But with just like straight up like glitches or with what you have in the game without modding, sometimes like it was impossible to do, or sometimes be extremely difficult. And I figured like the only way to answer some of these questions would be I would have to mod. But I had no idea where to start. And I actually knew, like, I knew, like, one big Halo modder at the time, GameCheat13.
Yep.
And he's actually the one that taught me all the basics to modding. And I think I first met him through my, yeah, it was through my Twitch Plays Halo stream that I actually mentioned earlier. So, like, one of the problems with that stream at the end was, like, even though the chat, like, they could drive the Warthog, quote-unquote, drive through the chat, like, they couldn't do it within the time limit, so I had to find some way to remove the time limit, and he actually reached out to me and offered to help remove the timer during the Warthog run so that the Twitch chat could actually reasonably finish the Warthog run. And cool. I guess after that point, like, at some point when I wanted to, like, tackle certain questions on, like, Halo 3 or Halo 2, I asked him, like, how do I get started with modding? And then that's when he, like, taught me all the basics.
Very nice. And, like, you don't do a lot of heavy modding for your videos necessarily. It's kind of just going in there and tweaking some small variables, yeah, or swapping out some tags and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, for the most part. I don't really see myself as, like, a huge modder. Like, I don't do, like, any crazy stuff. I mostly use it to, like, poke around with stuff, like, or explore here and there. Almost like as, like, a utility, sort of.
The script kiddie version of a modder.
Yeah, in a way. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting tools out there. I could get into a lot of technical stuff that would probably go over a lot of our audience's head, but basically, can you give a simple rundown for those who might not be, like, aware of what is involved with making some of the videos that you make, kind of putting that in layman's terms?
So, like, our process, we don't really have, like, a super complicated process compared to, like, probably, like, other YouTubers out there. Like, a lot of our videos, it's, they're pretty straightforward. They're just basic, like, tutorials and explanations. But what we usually do, like, after we, like, brainstorm to set the idea, depending on how many people we need, we just get, like, a group of friends together, and we'll just, like, run through the glitch in campaign as many times as we need to get it right. And then once it's done, if it's in, like, Halo 3 or newer, I'll go back to theater mode, and then I'll record all the shots with the game DVR, actually, on Xbox One. And then once I have all the clips, I recorded, like, an external hard drive, mm-hmm, and I just move it to my PC, and depending on the video, if it's, like, a simpler video, I'll actually use... I still use, like, Windows Movie Maker for the simpler videos.
Hey, so it works!
Yeah, it gets the job done for those kind of videos. Yeah, I'll just throw in the Movie Maker, trim a few clips here and there, and then once it's all together, then I narrate it. And people have noticed that I do narrate in one take, and I don't know, it's just kind of my preference for that. But some videos I do... like my videos talked about Halo Infinite recently, those I actually did write a script for, which is actually pretty rare I do, but I did write a script for those, and I actually use more advanced editing software for those in those cases when needed. But after that, once everything is done and edited, then that's when I render it and then get it onto YouTube. And that's basically my process.
Very nice. GT, over to you.
Well, since DJ stole my last question.
Big brain smarts.
Great minds think alike.
Yeah.
Did he say grave minds? Those guys terrify me.
No, not grave minds, Chuck. Great minds. Although grave great minds could be.
Aren't graves great anyways?
Grave.
And I'll pull a couple of these Twitch comments just while you're thinking of them, because some of these are funny, from Drakenfire. Seagull boarding the pelican.
Yeah, there you go.
And then suicide grunt as the warthog when you crash and have it explode.
Which one of your videos, in your opinion, was most surprising to you to be able to complete?
So that'll be, it's actually quite a recent one, maybe a few months ago, where like, you remember how Steve Downs is doing Cameo? Like, mm-hmm, people can, like, hire him to, like, say stuff?
Yep.
I didn't think he would actually accept, but I asked if he could do, like, redub of Noble Six's lines in Halo Reach in a Master Chief voice. And so I did, like, a video, and I released a mod of it, too, where, you know, it's the Halo Reach campaign, but instead of Noble Six, it's Master Chief. And I was so surprised he was actually, like, willing to do that. And it was, it's actually, like, one of my personal favorite videos, too, because it's just, like, you know, like, fan fiction almost, in that case. Yeah. Master Chief and Reach instead.
That got a good amount of traction too. In the
Steve's one of the nicest guys in the world.
Yes, he is.
He's pretty awesome.
Yeah, he really is. Still missed out on the interview at Outpost.
I wanted to get his autograph too, but the lines were so long, and I couldn't get I couldn't get in the queue for it.
Yeah, the lines were.
Yep,
they were what they were. Unfortunately,
one of these days.
One of these days, yeah.
Actually, all right.
Tim was going to reach out to Steve. I need to follow up with him, see if he heard back. Sorry, DJ. Go ahead.
Oh no. I was going to talk about. So there's this video from September 20th of 2010. All right. It's called Halo Reach Glitches, Secrets, and Easter Eggs. It is your most popular YouTube video with over 1.1 million views on it.
Yeah, I did not expect it at the time either. Like, that was when Halo Reach first came out, and I guess we just wanted to, get something out there as fast as we can. So we just, breezed through the game and, looked under every single rock that we could as fast as we can. And whatever we found, no matter how small it was, I guess, we just made a little collection of it and then just put it out there. And I had no idea, at the time, that it would get that big. I was so surprised.
Yeah, there's
it wasn't even really planning on it to get that big either. I just wanted to get something out there to start.
Yeah, I'm looking through some of the comments here, and it's a lot of people with a lot of things people didn't realize they could do. I'm not gonna lie, the opening sequence, I also was unaware about holding right on your stick. And now my question is, does that work with the keyboard and mouse in Reach on PC? Or do you have to have it only be done? It can only be activated through a controller.
I actually have not tried that myself. As far as I know, that kind of stuff, I've only ever done that on controller. So
new video coming out next week.
Right? Right? Testing glitches on KBM. Let's go.
Yeah, that MCC on PC opens up a whole new realm of stuff.
Yep.
It does. And it's I'm actually still in disbelief that MCC finally came to PC. It's one of those things I never thought would happen. And sometimes I just look at it and wow, it's actually here.
Yep. And then it happened.
Yep.
And there was much rejoicing. Yeah. No? Okay. Apparently there was not much rejoicing.
Woohoo.
Yeah. So what is something that you've wanted to do, but you couldn't find a way to actually do it from either modding, or it just turned out it was not really technically feasible for you to do?
So one of the first things that I really needed to do with mods, and I actually bought a whole mod of 360 just to get that started, was in the first mission of Halo 3 on Sierra 117, at the halfway point, there's a moment where there's two pelicans and they get shot down by the banshees, and I wanted to see if you could save them, because what if you shoot the banshees down earlier? But there's two banshees, and being able to shoot both of them down was pretty much impossible to do with what you have, even with four player co-op. And my friends and I, we spent days actually just trying different weapons, trying to get the banshees down, but we just couldn't do it. But I really, really wanted to try it, because I was pretty sure something might happen. We probably could save those pelicans. So that's when I decided to get into modding a lot more. And I got my mod of 360. I did what I needed to do to get that working, and I finally shot those banshees down before they shot down the pelicans, and it worked. We saved the pelicans, and that's basically also how modding started from there as well.
Very nice. Although, is there something that you haven't still been able to do? Something that you really wanted to do, or that you guys came up with an idea of oh, this would be really cool to do, and it just you couldn't actually get it the game modded to a point where you could actually do that, or you couldn't get the setup to work.
I see. So there's actually one thing, and it's been kind of a popular request for a while on my channel, but I can't do it just yet. It's so I did a modded video on Halo 4. This was maybe a year ago, where I replaced Master Chief's armor with the classic Mark 6 armor from multiplayer. Because in multiplayer you can unlock a custom Mark 6 version. So yep. I gave him the classic armor. But it was Halo 4 on a 360, the resources for it are pretty limited. So there wasn't much wiggle room to do that kind of mod. So I couldn't do it like how I wanted. Like the quality was kind of low for the armor, and I couldn't do it for every mission either. But you know, it still turned out okay. But then afterwards, people wanted me to also use Master Chief's Mark V armor from the multiplayer. That I couldn't do though, because it's like a DLC armor, and for some reason, like with the mod tools, it couldn't get that armor from the DLC maps. So you know, it's basically been pending. I'm waiting for like Halo 4 to come to MCC, and then I'll revisit that and see like, if I can do it. Yeah,
gotcha.
But for the moment, it's something that I couldn't do.
Gotcha. Yeah, probably some restriction on being able to swap out tags or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully with MCC PC on with Halo 4.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
To kind of revisit that. Do you guys have a lot of things that you're kind of that you had to put on the back burner until MCC kind of came out on PC, and now you're starting to actually go back through your list and be like, "Oh, we can actually do this now." And
yeah.
That's cool.
Yep.
I bet that feels
Which
nice.
Which is actually kind of the reason sorry, my bad.
I bet that feels nice.
Yeah. But it's kind of the reason why, like personally, like, Halo 3 is my favorite game on MCC, but, like, low-key, I'm actually, like, really looking forward to Halo 4, because we have quite a few things on the back burner for Halo 4, just because it was so, like, restricted on the 360. But I feel like on PC, it should be a lot easier to do all that stuff, finally. So, a lot of things we're excited for with that.
Very nice. Yeah. Excited to see what you come out with, for sure. GT? Over to you.
On your videos for the different tricks and stuff, how much time do you guys put in on some of this stuff? I mean, what's the longest thing you've ever worked on that was successful? I know there's plenty of projects that you're still working on, but
I guess like as far as like just tricks and glitches go, because like some mods might take me like weeks to do, especially if like really tedious to do. But like just as for like tricks and glitches, I'd say like a lot of them we do within like 1 or 2 days, just like between like planning, testing stuff out, and then finally doing the filming. So I'd say like maybe 1 day is average, but the longest probably is like at most maybe 3 days. Because like maybe like the first day we do like some experiments, and then we jot down like some notes, and then the next day we kind of go over that and figure out like what we can do differently to get it work. And then finally by the third day we have it figured out. So usually it's not too bad. Sometimes there are a few challenges here and there.
Because you put out videos probably on average every other day, right?
Yeah. At the moment, I shoot for like Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Videos. Wow.
But sometimes I might take a break here and there. Because sometimes like if something is really quick and easy to do, like it only takes us like half an hour to do, we might do like a second or third video and do it in advance.
Okay.
And then I can like, you know, schedule those, spread them out a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah.
Very cool. DJ.
So, obviously you make YouTube videos. You're obviously massively into Halo. What are two things that the general public may not know about your interests outside of making videos for YouTube? What do you do to relax, to have fun, or that is just an unknown feature about the behind-the-scenes you?
Damn it, DJ, you took my question.
That's twice.
Yep.
I'm really good at this game.
Well, one thing like outside of Halo that I really enjoy is like I really like this is so like kind of random, but like when some people found out, it's like a big gasp for them. But like I kind of think of myself as almost like a connoisseur of steaks, but like when I eat steak, it has to be well done. Yeah,
well done
steaks, the only way I can eat them. But like when people hear like I love well done steaks, it's like the most controversial thing ever. And yeah, that's
I just got over food poisoning from not having cooked it thoroughly, so I feel like I exactly. can't say anything about it, dude. I can't say anything about it. What's your other thing?
my mom used to tease me that I like my steaks blackened or burnt. No, she called them burnt. I said blackened. I used to eat my steaks well.
I'd like to still be able to chew my steak.
Yes.
I don't want to have to go get the chainsaw out to cut it.
I don't want it bleeding, but I like it pink in the middle. So I make them. But you have to eat them all that at that moment when it's done. If you leave it in the fridge for several days and then say microwave it along with some aioli that's also several days old, guess what? Vomit City!
Recipe for disaster. Yep.
But I feel thinner.
All right. Sorry, he didn't mean to interrupt.
What's the other thing?
So the other thing is, like, on the side, I do, like, some software development, like, on my own time. Nothing, like, major, like, just some, like, make some, like, random apps here and there. I haven't really submitted much out there. It's just mostly for fun. Or sometimes, like, there's actually, like, one thing, like, a couple friends and I were trying to make, like, our own, like, indie game, sort of.
Cool.
But it's nothing huge yet, and it's just kind of in the planning phase right now, but it's something that we've really wanted to do for a while. So that's kind of, like, something that we try to look at during our free time. When possible.
Well, hopefully I'll get to see up at ID at Xbox one of these days.
I hope so, yeah.
That would be awesome.
That'd be really cool. Yeah.
All right. Your turn, nice. Dust. Sorry.
Dang, I gotta think of another one. I've been trying to think of one. I haven't come up with one yet. GT, you got one? If not, I'll try to
sure.
My head on one. Okay. I'll go after you.
Okay. Then. You mentioned earlier that you got into Halo by accident.
Yeah, pretty much.
What hooked you with Halo? I mean, what made you think, this is a game I want to play? Was it the multiplayer, the campaign, what?
Definitely the campaign. Because, like, when I first, like, started, like, playing it and seeing it, I was just so, like, fascinated by, like, the whole, like, the mysterious environment of, like, Halo 1. Like, the Halo ring and everything, exploring, like, the alien structures. And then, like, the alien weapons at the time, they just seemed so cool to me. Like, the Needler, I just thought, like, oh my god, that's, like, the coolest thing I've ever seen. And then, when you drive vehicles, like, before that, I've actually never seen a game where you could drive vehicles like that well. There was, just, like, there was really no other game I could think of before Halo that had such good, like, vehicle driving.
Right.
And, like, I remember, like, the Ghost. That's, like, my favorite vehicle in all of Halo. And just seeing that go, like, I was just totally in love with that vehicle for some reason. I just thought it was just the coolest vehicle ever. And from there, you know, I just wanted to, like, know more and more about Halo. As more Halo games got announced.
It took me about 2 months to figure out how to drive the Warthog. Well, up until that point, the only driving I'd done has been in racing games. Right? And in a racing game, the controls are different.
And four-wheel steering is real awkward. Kill a lot of Marines trying to figure that out.
But, I mean, to that point, though, I think Halo did really revolutionize the controls for a first-person shooter, including the driving, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Well, what
agree.
They did is they made it seamless to move between a biped and a wheeled vehicle, or exactly. a flying vehicle.
Yeah, which really hadn't been done before.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I think, like, the only other game I could think of before Halo that had vehicles is maybe... GoldenEye had, like, that one mission where you drive a tank, but it was, you know, it was kind of clunky driving a tank at the time, so, and there was really nothing else besides that I could think of.
Yeah. This is kind of a cop-out question, but it's the only one I can really think of at the moment, so I apologize for kind of ending on a sour note, but if you were not playing Halo, what other franchises or video games do you think you'd be interested in or would have the same kind of passion for?
So before I got my Xbox by accident,
it's still like by accident. What?
That still gets me. Like, I wanted a GameCube, but I got an Xbox. So look at here now. I have a career.
Yeah, I mean, for once, you know, parents that don't know technology well actually paid off.
Right, there we go.
But before, like, the Xbox, I was really into Super Smash Brothers. That was, like, my game. Before Halo, and that's what I wanted to play on the GameCube as well, the next Super Smash Brothers game. And I think, like, if I never got into Halo, then today I probably would be probably playing Super Smash Brothers on the Switch. And I don't know if I ever would have done videos on that or not, but I definitely would have still, you know, played that game a lot. And Legend of Zelda as well. Those are all, like, my favorite games back in the day.
Nice. I think Nintendo has a place in just about everyone's heart somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, that's where a lot of us got our start.
Yep.
Well, you know, I started with Pong.
Yeah.
Yep, there you go. He pulled up the screen. Yeah. I think Nintendo is definitely one of those platforms where, like, amid the whole console war stuff, it's like, Nintendo's Nintendo. Like, what's not the one about Nintendo?
Yep. So.
Well, thank you for coming on the podcast and kind of explaining your process, explaining what you do, kind of introducing the community to who you are a little bit. Where can people find you on the interwebs?
You can check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/generalkid with two D's and kid. And yeah, just check it out. And hopefully you guys enjoy the videos.
General Kid.
General Heed.
you have a Twitter, Instagram, Facebook page, any of that kind of stuff?
I do have a Twitter as well. It's the same as my YouTube channel, General Kid or General Heed.
General Heed.
Grossen Heed.
See, DJ, I'm not crazy. Well, I am to an extent, but not that kind of crazy.
Drink vodka. There you go.
Oh, good stuff. Well, thank you for listening. And for those attending the live stream, thank you for dropping on by. You can find us on social media. We are also on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Just search for Podtacular. You can also find our live stream on Twitch. This is where we do our live recording of the show. And we also have our live streams, which includes Fraggin' Friday on Fridays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Achieving Halo, which is 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Sundays, and then our podcast at 8:30 p.m. on Thursdays. That is Eastern Time as well. We also have our YouTube page, which you can go and check out some of the videos we have over there. We also have our Discord, which is where the majority of our community comes to interact with us if it's not on social media. We also have our Tales from the Foxhole section. That is where you can share some of your fun tales from Halo. Could be in-game, could be out-of-game, anything Halo-related. Drop it in there, and you can hear it here on the podcast, same way that you heard the few that we had at the beginning of the show. We also have our Spartan Company, which you can join and enlist in, and our Xbox Club. We also check our Xbox Club periodically for any clips or screenshots that make it over there, and we'll share those during our Tales from the Foxhole section as well. You can find the podcast over on iTunes, Spotify, Google for actually maybe not much longer because they announced that Google Music is closing in December, so we'll see if that continues to go. TuneIn, Stitcher, and all those other places. Just search for Podtacular and your favorite podcast service. If you cannot find us, please let us know, and we will work to get Podtacular on your podcast service of choice. You can support the community through Patreon. Thanks to our patrons, we have a couple of different opportunities over there as far as getting access to show notes, VODs, some Podtacular swag, which one of our patrons is actually coming up on receiving the first Podtacular swag from patrons. So that should be going out here pretty soon. You can also support us by shopping through Amazon by using our affiliate link. So you can go to podtacular.com/Amazon before you check out. And as you check out, you can get a little, you'll give us a little commission off of your purchase, doing it that way. Or you can donate to us directly at podtacular.com/donate, and that'll take you through a PayPal page where you can donate to us monetarily directly if you would like to do it that way. You can also subscribe to us on Twitch if you'd like to support the show that way as well. And just as an update, if people didn't catch it from the last episode, we did reach our matching goal for donations, Twitch subscribers, Amazon affiliate stuff, and Patreon supporters. So we actually just clicked the button before the show went live. We donated $240 to ACLU. Thanks to everyone who contributed to that campaign. Got the matching in there of 117, so there you go. Pence asks when the next book is being done. Within the next month, we have a couple of guests lined up for some upcoming shows, so we have to figure out where to fit that book in with the guests. But within the next month is when we will be doing Battleborn Meridian Divide. We actually have the folks on from Sacred Icon Halo. I'm going to be doing a separate podcast with them on Saturday. That will probably not be live stream, but that will go into the podcast feed after this one. So that is the next guest that we have on the show. We may have another guest lined up for next Thursday. Not sure about that yet, but stay tuned to social media and you guys will see it there. Any final remarks, DJ GT, before we close this one out?
Just make sure don't hook it. Chuck it.
That's all I got.
I thought that was great.
Oh, that's perfect.
Ha 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 ha. All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for watching us. We will catch you all on the flip side. Until then, keep on fragging them trucks. All right, everyone can stop recordings.